Daniel, please take your Bibles and turn with me to Psalm 131. Our message series is called Stepping Stones to God's Heart, and we are learning together from the Psalms of Ascent how we can draw closer to our God and Savior. Today we come to the shortest psalm that we've seen so far in the Psalms of Ascent. Charles Spurgeon said of this psalm, it's one of the shortest psalms to read, but one of the longest to learn. And so it's just a little step in our step up the mountain, but once taken, it's a step that will carry you a very great distance in your walk with the Lord. We've actually traveled quite a distance throughout the Psalms of Ascent from Psalm 120, but even from this particular group of psalms. Remember, they break into groups of three psalms, a psalm of trouble, followed by a psalm of trust, followed by a psalm of triumph. And so this group is Psalms 129, 130, and 131. And Psalm 129, we've come a long way from there. Psalm 129 was what we called one of the imprecatory psalms. It was a psalm calling for vengeance on God's enemies. And then we came to Psalm 130, where the psalmist was asking for forgiveness for his own sins. And now we come to Psalm 131, which is simply a psalm of humility. And the psalmist has come to a place of quiet, contentment, and rest in the presence of God. As we've worked our way through these Psalms of Ascent, we've had quite a few surprises along the way. One of the first surprises was when we got to the first Psalm of Triumph, that was three psalms in, we said, wow, we're just going all the way up. And then we saw it step back into that pattern, went back to a Psalm of Trouble. And we learned from that that the Christian life is not smooth sailing all the way, but there are ups and downs. Sometimes it's three steps forward, two steps back. There was another surprise last week where we learned that the closer we get to God, the more aware we become of our sin and our need for God's mercy. That was a surprise. Well, I think the big surprise we get when we come to this psalm, Psalm 131, that we're coming into a psalm of triumph now. And so we're looking for a psalm of just victory where we're on top of the world, right? But what we find is that God's idea of triumph looks a lot different from the world's idea of triumph. And so instead of talking about power and wealth and fame, the things that the world would focus on, Psalm 131 is all about humility and contentment. And so even though this is one of the Psalms of Ascent, one of the things it teaches us is that the way up is actually down. You got to take a step down if you want to go up the mountain. And so it may look like a step down, but this truly is a step upward to God. This is a Psalm of David. We said that there are four Psalms of David mixed into the Psalms of Ascent. This is the third out of four. We have one more coming up in a couple weeks. And David is a good example, I believe, of someone who learned the truths of this psalm well. When David was hunted by Saul, instead of trying to take matters into his own hands, what did David do? He trusted God. He humbled himself. He knew that God would make him king when the time was right. And I believe David is a wonderful example of someone who learned the twin truths of this psalm of humility and contentment. So we're in Psalm 131. Please stand together with me now for the reading of God's word. Psalm 131, a song of ascents of David. My heart is not proud, O Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. But I have stilled and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Dear Lord, it's a small psalm. But Lord, there's a big truth in here that we need to learn in our lives. Help us to learn it, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Is your soul quiet today? Your soul quiet today? Or is it disturbed? Is your soul at rest? Or is it agitated? One of the most precious experiences in life is when we are able to quiet our soul in God's presence. To know God's peace, to know His rest, to know His comfort. And that's something that God makes available to us at all times. It's always available. But we don't always avail ourselves of it. And there may be any number of reasons why your soul may be disturbed or agitated this morning. Why it might be crying out rather than quiet or restful. You may have a guilty conscience. You may be worried about something or envious of someone. You may be distracted. You may be fatigued. But in the midst of all of that, I want you to know this morning, God wants you to have a quiet heart. He wants you to have a soul that is at rest. And sometimes we wonder, why is it that we can get so agitated and stirred up and so discontent in life and so anxious in our souls? And the Bible tells us it all has to do with an attitude of pride. It goes back to pride. And that's what Psalm 131 is all about. It's only three verses, but each verse has a very simple and clear instruction for us to follow. Practice humility, that's verse 1. Number 2, learn contentment. Number 3, live in hope. There's an outline in your bulletin with these three points and other verses on there if you'd like to take that out to follow along or to take notes. But those who practice humility before the Lord find contentment and rest. That's our message this morning. Well, if those who practice humility find contentment and rest, then what's the first thing you need to do? You got to practice humility. So let's go to verse 1 now, where David prays, "My heart is not proud, O Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me." Some people say that you can't speak about your humility. That the moment you start talking about your humility, that you're being proud again. And so you've lost it as soon as you've done it. But I would say it depends on who you're speaking to and what your attitude is when you speak. Because David here, he's talking about his humility, but he's not boasting about his humility to others. That would be impossible. Rather, what is he doing? He is confessing his humility to God. And this whole psalm just speaks of such a sweet and gentle humility before the Lord. David is not boasting. He's actually humbling himself before God, even as he speaks. And David begins the whole psalm by praying, "O Lord." I know in the NIV that comes a little bit later in the psalm, but in the original language, those words come first. "O Lord, I have humbled my heart. O Lord, my heart is not proud." And I believe that's important because he begins by doing what? By addressing his God, his Lord, his Master. Where does humility begin? It begins with a focus on the Lord. And then everything that follows in this psalm takes place within the context of that single cry, "O Lord, O Lord," it's a prayer. There are several things we can learn from David's prayer here in verse 1. First of all, do not be proud in your heart. That's where David begins his prayer. "My heart is not proud." And the word that's translated proud there is a word that means high or lofty or just even tall. It's actually the word that was used to describe Saul back in the book of 1 Samuel, where we're told that Saul was a head taller than everybody else. Same word there. But when it's used of the heart, it takes on this meaning of being proud, of being haughty, of lifting your heart up high. And the proud heart is pride in relation to yourself. You're just full of yourself. You've got a proud heart. The Bible tells us that your pride is the main obstacle between you and God. Pride is what caused Satan to fall. And pride is what caused Adam and Eve to listen to Satan in the garden. Proverbs 18:12 says, "Before his downfall, a man's heart is proud. But humility comes before honor." Notice the contrast there. Before you fall down, where's your heart? It's been lifted up. It's been proud. You've got a high heart. Proverbs 16:5 warns us, "The Lord detests all the proud of heart. Be sure of this, they will not go unpunished." That's where that downfall comes from, right? That's God's consequences for pride. So if you want to practice humility, where does it begin? It begins with your heart. Do not be proud in your heart. Secondly, do not be proud in your attitude towards others. And we see this in the second part of David's prayer, where he says, "My eyes are not haughty." Once again, the word for hot in this verse literally means to be raised up or to be raised high or lifted up. Once again, it was used of physical objects. For example, when Moses lifted up his staff in the Old Testament, the book of Exodus. What's the word? Same word here, lifted up. It's the same word we see in Isaiah 6:1, where Isaiah says, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and lifted up, and as the train of his robe filled the temple. Now, there's a good lifting up of our eyes. We talked about that with the kids this morning, didn't we? We saw that earlier in the Psalms of Ascent, Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes, where? To the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. We lift up our eyes. We look beyond the hills to God, from whom our help comes. But there's a wrong lifting up of our eyes where we're not lifting them up to look at God, but we're getting up high so we can look down at other people. And as we said with the kids during the children's message today, you can either look up to God or you can look down at other people, but you can't do both at the same time. And that's what David means here by haughty eyes, looking down on others. Proverbs 30, verse 13 speaks of those whose eyes are ever so haughty, whose glances are so disdainful. And when you have that disdainful attitude and disdainful look in your eyes, looking down on other people, then you are struggling with haughty eyes. If the proud heart has to do with pride in yourself, full of yourself, right? The haughty eyes have to do with pride in relation to others. Looking down on other people, constantly putting other people down, constantly comparing yourself to other people, constantly convincing yourself that you are better than other people. Willem van Gemeren says, the proud person looks, compares, competes, and is never content. Romans 12:16 tells us, do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. If you want to practice humility, guess what? You need to get rid of those haughty eyes. Do not be proud in your heart. Do not be proud in your attitude toward others. And then thirdly, do not feel that you have to know or understand it all. Look at the end of verse 1 with me now, where David says, I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. It's interesting. The first part of this verse, David talked about what? The heart. In the second part of this verse, he talked about the eyes. And here, metaphorically, he's actually talking about the feet. Because this word that's translated concern myself in the Hebrew, it's actually the Hebrew word for walk. And so it gives us the idea of walking and our feet. It can be used physically for walking, but it can also be used in the sense of how do you walk your walk, right? How do you conduct your life? This word that's translated things too wonderful, it's used many times in the Psalms. And it's especially used to speak of God's wonders, of God's miracles, of God's mighty deeds. In other words, these great matters, these things that are too wonderful for me, these are things that are beyond my power. These are things that only God can do or understand. So what is David saying in this verse? He's saying, I've learned not to walk above my means. I've learned not to reach beyond my grasp. I've learned not to expend great effort trying to do things beyond my ability or attempting to understand things beyond my comprehension. And I'm willing to admit that there are things I cannot do, in many things I do not understand, and that's okay, because my walk is humble and not proud. And so I'm not caught up in greatness or achievements or accomplishments, but I maintain a lowly, humble walk before the Lord, and I bow my knee to his great power and understanding. You want a simple summary of all of that? David is basically saying, you know what? I quit trying to play God. I stopped playing that game. You know, if the proud heart has to do with pride in relationship to yourself, and the proud eyes have to do with pride in relationship to other people, then the proud walk that we find here has to do with pride in relationship to God. How about you this morning? Have you quit trying to play God? Because we all do it, right? Or are you still desperately trying to control everyone and everything around you? I saw a great sign once. I was over at the driver's registration office, and so, of course, I had lots of time. I could actually copy it down. and write the sign down. And I'm glad I did. It read like this. It says, "Good morning. This is God. I will be handling all of your problems today. I will not need your help. So relax and have a great day." And I like that. That's what Psalm 131 is saying. Chill out. Relax. Let God be God. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law." You don't need to know or understand it all. You don't have to inform everyone else what you think about every issue that comes along. It seems everyone has an opinion these days, whether we know the facts or not. And social media, Facebook and Twitter, boy, it just makes it really easy to broadcast all those opinions to other people. Psalm 131 says, chill out. Relax. You might be a wonderful person, but let me assure you this morning, you make a terrible God. It's okay to admit that you don't know it all. When God confronted Job at the end of his trial, Job was appropriately humbled. And he confessed, he said, "Surely I spoke of things I did not understand. Things too wonderful for me to know." See, our knowledge is not like God's knowledge. David writes in Psalm 139, he says, "O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's too lofty for me to attain." Psalm 131 also has to do with your inordinate desire to be important. And that's a struggle for many of us. So much of life is ordinary. Doing our daily tasks to the glory of God and for the good of others. And so often we want so much more. We want the spotlight. We want the platform. And some of us need to hear God's rebuke that he gave to a man, Baruch, son of Neriah, Jeremiah 45:5, where he told Baruch, "Should you then seek great things for yourself? Seek them not." Seek great things for the Lord, yes, but not for yourself. See, Psalm 131 teaches you to be humble in your walk before the Lord, to be content with who God has made you, to be content with the gifts that God has given you. Never ask God for someone else's station in life. Robert Murray M'Cheyne wrote, "It has always been my aim, and it is my prayer, to have no plan as regards myself, well assured as I am that the place where the Savior sees meet to place me must ever be the best place for me." So enough with playing God. It's time to practice humility. Don't be proud in your heart. Don't be proud in your attitude towards others. Don't feel that you got to know and understand it all. God knows, and that is enough. So that's the first part of the psalm. Practice humility. Now the second part of the psalm tells us what happens when you do that. What happens when you practice humility? And it's beautiful. What happens when you practice humility? You learn contentment. The two go together. Look at verse 2. David says, "But I've stilled and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me." And there are three instructions about learning contentment here in verse 2. Be still before the Lord, quiet your soul, and then rest like a weaned child with your mother. Let's take a look at each of those. First of all, be still before the Lord. That's what David says here at the beginning. I've stilled and quieted my soul. And this word stilled, it's a word that means to make still or level or smooth. Think of the ocean with the waves going up and down. And then you still it. You smooth it out. Refers to ceasing from motion. It speaks of calming or soothing your own soul. David's saying here, he's saying, I've removed those things which agitate my soul, those things that stir it up, that make the waves all choppy. And what were those things? The things we just looked at in verse 1. Pride in self, pride towards others, comparing, pride towards God, trying to run your own life. And so if you want to learn contentment, you've got to do the same thing David did. You need to level out your soul before God and smooth out all of those conflicting emotions. And the only way you're ever going to do that is by being still before the Lord and acknowledging that He is God and you are not. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." He will be exalted. Not you. Not me. So first of all, be still before the Lord. Secondly, quiet your soul. David says, "I've stilled and quieted my soul." And the word quieted here, once again, it can mean motionless, but it also really brings along the idea of silence, of quietness. So David has stilled his soul, no more agitation, and he's quieted his soul, no more crying out. A quiet soul only comes from God. It is His gift to us. David writes in Psalm 62:1, "My soul finds rest where? In God alone. My salvation comes from Him." Jesus offers rest for the soul to everyone who comes to Him. We read the words earlier in Matthew 11, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, come to me and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." If you want rest for your soul, come to Jesus. Come confessing your sins, as we saw in Psalm 130 last week. And He will give you rest. When you practice humility, you learn contentment. And part of that contentment is having a still and a quiet soul. Be still before the Lord, quiet your soul. And then thirdly, such a beautiful part of the psalm. Rest like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. Notice the repetition of the lines here. It's another poetic device. We saw one similar in Psalm 130 last week where it said, "More than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. Like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child." Okay, moms, what's a child like during the weaning process? Oh boy, right? They are agitated and they are noisy, which is the exact opposite of being still and quiet, the still and quiet soul we've just been talking about. But David says in this psalm, he says, "I've been through that. I've come through the process." There was a time when David was more like a screaming baby in his life. But he says, "No more. Now I'm like a weaned child." He finally realized that he didn't need all those things he thought that he needed before. And this picture of the weaned child here in verse 2, it's a picture of perfect peace and contentment. What used to provoke fussing and crying and desperation, it no longer affects you. And when you let go of your pride and you're comparing and you're trying to run your own life, guess what? You too can be quiet and still. And you don't need those things anymore because you are learning to be content in Christ. The weaned child has reached a new stage of maturity. And so, as Christians, if we want to grow in maturity in Christ, we must learn to still and quiet our own souls. Weaning is a child's first experience of loss. It is a difficult but vital lesson that you can't always get what you want in life, and you can't always have it your own way. You know, unfortunately, I think some of us are still trying to learn that lesson, aren't we? You'd think we'd have learned it back when we were weaned. But weaning is a process, and it is a battle to wean a child, and it is a battle for God to bring us to this place of quiet contentment and rest. God doesn't want you to be childish. Rather, He calls you to be childlike. Jesus said in Matthew 18, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." And we wonder what that's all about. Well, He tells us it's all about humility. "Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." And so as believers, we are no longer to fight and to claw and to clamor for all of the things of this world. God wants to wean us from pride and self and all that the world has to offer. And he wants us to be like children, dependent on him and content in him. And that's really what this whole image is all about, is that the weaned child has been through the battle, but now the child is content with the mother, just as we are to be content with God. I like how Alec Motyer puts it in his commentary. He says, "Mom is no longer there to meet demand. It is simply enough that she is there. Not now the breast to feed, but the hand to hold, the cuddle that assures, the kiss that makes it better." Arthur Weiser has a wonderful section on this in his commentary on the Psalms. It's fairly lengthy, but let me read it to you because it's so beautifully written. The person who's learned to rest like a weaned child with his mother, Weiser writes, his soul rests on God's heart and finds its happiness in intimate communion with him. Not like an infant crying loudly for his mother's breast, but like a weaned child that quietly rests by his mother's side, happy in being with her. Here his heart has found rest. He knows himself to be safe with God and to be sheltered in the love of his heavenly Father. No desire now comes between him and his God, for he is sure that God knows what he needs before he asks him. And just as the child gradually breaks off the habit of regarding his mother only as a means of satisfying his own desires and learns to love her for her own sake, so the worshiper, after a struggle, has reached an attitude of mind in which he desires God for himself and not as a means of fulfillment of his own wishes. His life's center of gravity has shifted. He now rests no longer in himself, but in God. In this restful state of the believer, this contrasts so sharply with the restlessness of the wicked. We read in Isaiah 57, but the wicked are like the tossing sea, right? Not smooth and leveled out. They're like the tossing sea which cannot rest, whose waves cast up mire and mud. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. Well, there's no peace for the wicked, but there is perfect peace and contentment for the child of God. And so Psalm 131 is saying, stop your struggling. Stop your restlessness. Be still before the Lord. Quiet your soul. Practice humility and learn contentment. And then finally, live in hope. Look at verse 3 now, where David finishes the psalm. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. And we've seen this with all of the psalms of triumph and the psalms of ascent. We've seen that each of the psalms of triumph closes with a word of blessing or prayer for or about Israel. And we see it here once again. And here David is borrowing language from three of the other psalms of ascent, Psalms 121, 125, and 130. And as he brings all of these themes together, he's encouraging and inviting all of Israel, saying, all Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. First of all, put your hope in the Lord. We saw that last week, Psalm 137. Psalm 130, verse 7, O Israel, put your hope in the Lord. For with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. And here David invites others to come and share the same restful peace that he has experienced in his own soul. And then he goes on, he stresses, this is both now and forevermore. And here he's picking up on Psalms 121 and 125. Psalm 121, the Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Psalm 125, verse 2, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people, both now and forevermore. As we read these phrases, we're supposed to hear the echoes of these other psalms and the psalms of ascent and see how all of them build together as they rise us higher and higher, growing closer to God. The now in the psalm tells you can trust in God for all your present needs. The forevermore tells you can trust in God for all your future needs. He's got it all covered. I find it interesting that David began this psalm by addressing God. Oh, Lord, my heart is not proud. And now he closes the psalm by addressing God's people. Oh, Israel. You see, when you stop looking at yourself and you start looking at the Lord instead, you know what's going to happen? You'll start looking around to see how you can help and encourage other people as well. Psalm 131 teaches us this very simple but profound truth. Those who practice humility before the Lord find contentment and rest. But when we are proud in our hearts, when we are arrogant in our attitude towards other people, when we demand to be like God and to know it all, that's when our hearts are stirred up and they're restless and they're discontent. If you want a quiet and a restful soul this morning, you need to first of all confess your pride before God. You need to repent of a proud attitude towards others. And you need to let go of the need to know and understand it all. Practice humility. Learn contentment. Live in hope. There's no peace for the wicked. But when you come to Christ and you finally lay it all down, and you practice humility before the Lord, you will find rest for your soul and contentment in your heart. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for the psalm. It's just a little psalm. It's just a little step along the way. But Lord, when we take that little step, all of a sudden we find we've gone a long way. So Lord, as we continue through these psalms of ascent, your word that you've given us to draw us closer to you, help us to learn this lesson of humility, contentment, and hope. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.